listening to Detroit Today. I'm 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson. And as always, thanks for tuning in. None of us will be here forever, but kids, our nieces, our nephews, our younger cousins, our children will likely outlive us. And much of their future is dictated by what we do right now. Their lives very much won't live on, at least not in a good way, without our positive influence. And that makes it all the more important that we guide them on the right path in the country and in our state. A recent Kids Count report reveals that we should be doing a better job of that, especially right now in Michigan. It notes that the state ranks 32nd in terms of child well-being. Now, to be sure, there have been improvements in the lives of Michigan children. Federal spending during the COVID pandemic significantly reduced child poverty, and of course, it helped out parents as well. But it also drove up depression among young people, the disruption of COVID-19 did, probably because they were trapped inside and frequently separated from their friends and their lives. But there's a lot more that this Kids Count report reveals, and we want to talk the rest of the hour about what's in it and what we should be doing to make the outlook for Michigan children much better. To discuss it, we have Alex Rossman here with us. He is the External Affairs Director for the Michigan League for Public Policy. Alex, welcome to Detroit Today.
Good morning, Stephen. Thanks for having me today.
So let's start with an overview of this report. Michigan ranks 32nd in terms of child well-being. That's not a good number. But what does it mean? What does that look like? And what was the Kids Count data report actually measuring here?
The Annie Casey Foundation is a national organization that puts together the Kids Count report each year to look at child well-being from a national standpoint, how kids are doing across the country, and then looking at child well-being in each state and ranking states so that there's some context for how states are doing in child well-being. The report looks at four broad categories of economic well-being, education, health, and family and community factors, and then ranks states in each of those categories. And then within those categories, there are four domains of each kind of looking within. So economic well-being looks at poverty, health looks at healthcare coverage. Overall, looking at 16 different data points to put together a composite of how kids are doing in the state and country.
Yeah. And some of these are, I guess, what you would call hard data about things like income or, you know, access to medical care and things like that. And then there are kind of softer measures like emotional well-being. Talk about the difference, I guess, between those kinds of data inputs and then what Michigan looks like when we think about what's happening here.
Yeah, some of these categories and indicators are things that Kids Count looks at each year. In particular, this report took a much closer look at the mental health and well-being of our youth, understanding that they, like all of us, have been through a lot the last few years, but are particularly developmentally sensitive, emotionally impressionable, and that it just is a tough time, frankly, to be a kid and going through all of this. And so there was a close look at mental health for youth and some data around that. I think bridging the two data categories or indicators that we look at is just the increased awareness of how much a parent's well-being or a household's well-being is impacting kids. And, that is not always top of mind in our policy decisions or discussions. If a parent loses a job or is struggling financially, directly or indirectly, that's causing stress for the kid. Certainly the pandemic and the health factors. One of the things that the Kids Count report noted was how many kids that lost a parent or caregiver to the pandemic. Even within the mental health discussion, there's two different layers. There's kind of the severe or direct trauma related to losing a loved one, losing a classmate to COVID-19 or other factors. And then there are the stressors of, you know, being away from school and friends for a long period of time, trying to connect virtually more, parents losing jobs or struggling to make ends meet, and how much that impacts emotional well-being too. So I think the report does a good job of looking at both. That's something that the Michigan League for Public Policy tries to do in all our policy discussions as well, is look at the hard data and the statistical information, but also getting that community context, that first person context, you know, doing focus groups and community meetings and discussions with young people and parents about what they're feeling, and knowing that that's an important consideration as well as the hard numbers.
Yeah. I'm talking with Alex Rossman. He is External Affairs Director for the Michigan League for Public Policy. We're talking about the Kids Count report, which has some good news in it about what's happening for children here in the state of Michigan, and some worse news in terms of the ways in which we protect our kids, make sure they have all the opportunities that they need. We want to hear from you during the conversation as well. Are you a parent? How are your kids doing these days? Call and tell us about what's happening with your children. Do you feel like they need more help, more assistance, more help financially maybe than they did before COVID-19? Talk about how the federal assistance that came during the pandemic changed your financial situation. Did it really help you make sure that your kids could have everything that they need? This is the first week of school for many people here in Southeast Michigan. For some kids, this is the first time going back full time to in-person learning. What's that look like? What did the years of disrupted learning look like for your children, and what effect did that have on them, not just academically, but what effect did that have on their emotions? Give us a call and update us on what's going on in your family right now and what you need from government, what you need maybe from businesses, what you need from the community to better gird the childhood that's so important for all of our kids. As always, the number here on the phones is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we can include you in the conversation that way. Alex, before we get to our listeners, I want to talk about the comparison between Michigan and other states. We don't do well. Why is that? What are we not doing that other states are doing? And maybe what are we doing that other states are not?
I appreciate that question. As you mentioned, overall child well-being, we rank 32nd in the nation. So we are in the bottom half of states in child well-being. We rank 29th in economic well-being and family and community context. And our lowest rank, we're in the bottom 10 in education at 40th. And then our best rank was 27th in health. And actually, we are the fourth best state in the country for kids being insured. So there are some bright points even within those rankings. I think overall, seeing that we are still in the bottom half of states, we're still behind the pack. We are the lowest ranked overall, as well as I think in each category in the Midwest. And so when we think about being a competitive place for businesses to locate, for families to want to stay and raise their families, we look at our neighboring states as a benchmark of that. And one thing I did want to note is that even though we're still ranked low in these categories, in economic security in particular, every indicator that the Kids Count book looks at, we have improved. We just haven't improved enough to keep up with other states. And so I think we have been moving in the right direction in some regards. But, you know, as many people are aware, Michigan was hit particularly hard by the Great Recession. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of economic struggles. And with those economic struggles, unfortunately, came rough fiscal years in the state budget. And there was, you know, we talk a lot at the league about a decade of disinvestment that, you know, cut school funding, cut road funding, you know, made decisions that were based on finances that led to the Flint water crisis and other things like that. And so we were farther behind a lot of states because of that disinvestment. And I think we just have more ground to make up. I do believe we are trending in the right direction, including in the most recent budget that was just passed last month. I think there has been increased bipartisan agreement around investment and investment in kids and in particular needs of families with lower incomes, not just investing in kids through school funding, but looking at improved housing and childcare and those other needs that support families and in turn benefit the kids. So we have a ways to go, but I am optimistic that the budget and policy decisions that have been made the last 2 years are really going to bump up our rankings in another few years.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation with Alex Rossman of the Michigan League for Public Policy, and we want to get to you on the phones and on social media. Call and tell us what challenges your kids are facing now that the pandemic is over. They're back to school, so many of them, in person, full time. What are the things that you notice that they're struggling with, perhaps? What are the things that you're doing to try to bring some more normalcy back to them? Also, give us a sense of the things that you think we need to be doing as a state, as a city, as a region, to make life for kids a little better. Increase opportunity, minimize the kind of suffering that so many kids endure. As always, the number here on the phones is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we'll work you into the conversation that way. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today.
WDET is your connection to what's happening in Detroit.
WDET is your place for open dialogue about the issues that impact you.
Stay in the know.
This is WDET FM,
Detroit's NPR station.
Listening to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. Our guest right now is Alex Rossman. He is External Affairs Director for the Michigan League for Public Policy. We're talking about a Kids Count report from the Annie Casey Foundation that talks about how our kids are doing on a number of different factors. Our kids here in Michigan are thriving in some ways and not thriving in others. Why is that true? What are the things that we could do to increase the outlook or make the outlook better for our kids? We want to hear from you as well during the conversation. Call and tell us how your kids are doing. Are they back in school this week? So many kids did go back to school yesterday for the new school year. Some of them going back full-time in person for the first time since the disruption of the COVID-19 pandemic. That's one of the things that the Kids Count report and lots of other things that we have seen talk about when we talk about how our kids are doing, whether they're struggling not just academically, but emotionally and socially from the isolation of the pandemic. Give us a sense of what challenges you see your kids facing right now that maybe you didn't have in your lives before the pandemic. How are you dealing with those things? How are you helping them adjust back to life as normal as whatever that term means now after the pandemic. Give us a call. 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we'll work you into the conversation that way. Alex, I want to talk about we were talking before the break about the differences between Michigan and other states. There are also some notable differences among counties here in Michigan, and especially here in Southeast Michigan. How do kids fare in Wayne, Oakland, and Macomb counties, and what are the differences we see there?
In addition to the National Kids Count report that the Annie Casey Foundation puts out, the Michigan League for Public Policy has our own Kids Count project. We put out similar data for all counties, as well as the cities of Detroit, Flint, and Grand Rapids. And the two reports work together to kind of give a comprehensive, holistic look at how kids are doing from the local level on up to the national level. For Southeast Michigan in particular, and following a few trends that were pretty universal in all counties, that looking from 2010 to 2020, poverty went down in 82 of 83 counties, child poverty. The lone outlier was Luce County in the Upper Peninsula. Overall, we saw a lot of counties, while child poverty went down, the number of households in poverty, or the ALICE threshold, which stands for asset limited, income constrained, employed. So essentially people who are working but still struggling to make ends meet, that has gone up in a lot of counties, although that rate also improved in Southeast Michigan. And then a couple other areas that Southeast Michigan and Wayne, Oakland, and Macomb followed broader county trends. There was definitely a strong decline, strong in terms of how many different counties saw this decline in the number of 3 and 4 year olds in preschool, potentially impacted by the pandemic and health concerns, and then less than adequate prenatal care is another area that declined in a lot of places. But at the same time, the region and county saw births to teens go down. And so a little bit of good news and a little bit of enlightenment on what areas we need to keep working on to improve.
Yeah, yeah. Again, 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. Let's go to Dan in Southfield. Dan, welcome to the show.
Hey, Dan, good to talk to you.
Sure.
I work at a nonprofit down in Detroit Lightbusters. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, I hear all this stuff about how we're getting better or worse, or these statistics. There's a combination of private prejudice and poor public policy that have led to the kids in my neighborhood mm-hmm. having to walk by a burned-out crack house every day to go to a crappy school, and then they get home, and they're part of a multi-generational relation or series of poverty where parents don't have the coping skills themselves, and something's got to be done about this, and something serious, and not just using these statistics. You know, it's a certain concentration of people. We know who we're talking about that get totally hosed by this situation, okay? And their kids are going to grow up. They're going to live here with us, okay? Yeah. And they're going to be citizens of our community, and we better damn well think about that.
Yeah. Dan, really appreciate the call and the comments, and I think it'd be hard to argue with many of the points that you're making there. Alex Rossman, is there this I like the way he put that, this combination of private prejudice and public policy that really makes turning things in a different direction really difficult here in Michigan? And you have pointed out some things that we are doing better, but it seems like we're always kind of pushing uphill on this issue.
Yeah, it is certainly a challenge navigating the existing disparities by race and ethnicity, by income, by geography. As I was saying earlier, we try and use the data and statistics as one part of the equation and then try and get that community input and voice as another part to really make the case for why investment in certain kids or certain communities benefits us all. And I do think this is certainly a long road ahead, but something that we are making progress on. You know, the investment in schools passed in the most recent budget, not just across the board per pupil, but the increased investment on kids in high poverty schools, kids with special needs, kids that are not original English language speakers. And so I think there is some movement and awareness to needing to place a greater emphasis on certain areas or certain populations. You know, we talk about this at the league a lot that, there's a difference between equity and equality, and that in a lot of communities and for a lot of populations, similar to our state falling behind our national peers, we have let certain areas fall behind others, and we need to look at policy decisions and investments that try and make up that ground and give a greater boost to the kids that need it the most. Mm-hmm. I think we are moving in that direction, but certainly agree that there is a long way to go, that there still, unfortunately, is an ideological and rhetorical divide on some of that we continue to see. It's a comprehensive effort, in that part of it is using data, part of it is having discussions with community partners, community members, the media, policymakers, trying to get all of us invested in betterment of all our kids for the good of our state.
Yeah. Again, thanks very much for the call, Dan. Let's go to April in Detroit. April, what's on your mind?
Hi, we're talking with the screener a little bit about how my child is adjusting to school. I have a junior in her second day of school, and we're in the UPREP system. And, what I do like is that the school is asking students and staff to mask, and it just kind of helps to ease my mind a little bit. But it's amazing to me how adaptable the kids are, and, they're going in, and it's normal now to them, which is, good and bad. But I really see that they're, my daughter being adaptive and her friends adapting to also, talking about the socialization, using technology more. Like, they do video calls and things that obviously, we never had in our generation. I think it would have been a lot more difficult for us socially when we were younger, but they stay connected in ways that we could have never imagined. So, overall, the pandemic has been, obviously it's a shift in our reality in our life, but I really do think that the kids are adjusting and figuring out ways to stay connected and stay healthy.
Yeah. April, I really appreciate the call, and good luck to your daughter in her junior year. Alex, is there a measure for the kind of resiliency that April's talking about here in any of the kids count data? Kids do adapt, of course, and they figure things out. There are also lingering effects of what they're adapting to. And I feel like that becomes clear in the data. I'm wondering if their resiliency is evident there as well.
Well, certainly in a general sense, I really appreciate that point. I think about that a lot. My kids are at the other end of the spectrum. I have 4-year-old twins that went off to preschool for the first time today. They have been at home the last 2 years and had a very small circle. But just in general, I think we see from technology to interpersonal interaction, there is a flexibility to young people that just unfortunately wanes the older we get. I think there has been some of that. The data collection is honestly a few years behind the state of things. So the data is from 2020, and so we don't yet have the other side of the pandemic. We kind of are measuring more like at the high water mark of severity of the pandemic and apprehension there. So Again, it's another instance that I think in another year or two, we will be able to measure a little bit more concretely that adaptability. But I do think conceptually that's very true. And I also appreciate the discussion around some of the changes that were brought about because of the pandemic that are likely going to be permanent. The use of technology is one in particular. I actually was in Detroit a couple weeks ago for a day-long program on Internet for All and the state's efforts to improve Internet access and infrastructure. And in prepping for that discussion, I talked to a few friends with older kids, and some of our high schools are almost 95% online now. They're taking their standardized tests online. They're taking tests and quizzes. They're not even getting textbooks. They're doing it all online. And so there is an evolution there happening, but it also is another area where we want to make sure that that's not causing disparities, that, you know, the income correlation to technology access needs to be an important consideration as well.
Yeah. Okay, Alex Rossman of the Michigan League for Public Policy. It was really great to have you here for this conversation about Kids Count. Thanks so much for joining us on Detroit Today.
All right, thank you very much.
That's going to do it for us today. Come back tomorrow when we're going to talk with a data analyst about how home auctions in Detroit and Wayne County are going to go. That auction is going to start up again this week. Then we're going to talk with the new president of University of Detroit Mercy. This is 101.9 WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. We'll talk again tomorrow.